steam up and then I can't read, so it's tough getting home. Basically, the gospel message talks about God's power. And it's so amazing when we look at the whole history of mankind, as far as the powerful regimes and empires that have fallen. They didn't have sustaining power, but God changed the world forever when he sent his son Jesus to us. By the love Jesus displayed, he changed the world where all those armies and forces and power or whatever were unable to do. It is amazing how much power is able to be found in love. So Christ changed the world forever with that power, the power of God, the power of love. And as we're looking at the apostles just walking down the road with Jesus, he's trying to instruct them. He said, don't tell anybody because I just want time with you. I want to tell you about the mission and where we're going. But what he told them didn't sync with the apostles and where they wanted to go. What he heard was, I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be killed, and then I'm going to rise from the dead. Well, you can imagine the apostles, they left everything and followed him. And now he's talking about this, betrayal and death. This is not exactly what they signed up for. So they're very confused or whatever. And when he tells them that, they don't ask him any questions because maybe they don't want to hear the answers. So basically, what do? They feel isolated. They feel alone, and they feel very frightened. Does this kind of sound like human existence? And aren't we all like that? We're living in a world right now with so much brokenness, it's evident. And we are. We do feel isolated, alone, and frightened at times. But the good news of that is, in our brokenness, we're better listeners. It's an opportunity to learn. And it's many, many times the case that we don't learn as much from when we do things right. We learn from when we don't do things so right. We learn when we're at the end of our power and we can no longer force our will and our plan to be, that we turn ourselves over to God and say, help me. Help me, let me, give me the strength to go on, give me the strength to do things that are right. And that's exactly how the apostles felt. What he was telling them is so contrary to our society and definitely to theirs. You weren't going to be a servant. You had a servant, if you were anybody at all. And the idea that he's asking them to be a servant was so contrary to the values that they thought they would be in. It's just very, very contrary. And many times that's how it is for us. There's this massive tug of war between our agenda and God's agenda. With us saying, you know, we don't want to be last, you know. What do you mean the first will be last and the last will be first? It's very much a conflict for us as well. And being people of God who have humanness, we struggle with that. God's agenda in our agenda, because they can be very different, and our world's agenda is very different from God's agenda. And then God takes this little child and he holds this child and he said, when you bring in this child, when you do something for them, you do it for me, and you do it for the one who sent me. And so he brings this child to him and basically tells them that. And what is that child? What does that child represent in our day and age? It represents people without power. That child had no power. When they had the blessing of the fishes and they ate, they counted how many people were there, but they didn't count women, and they certainly didn't count children. They counted men. And in that society, children didn't have power. They were very vulnerable to the generosity of their parents and whoever oversaw them. But as far as their own person, they didn't have laws to protect them. They were powerless. So today, who's in that fragile box? Who is in there with children? And in our day and age, who's in there with them are people that we should be welcoming and we should be holding and we should be serving. And they are the people without power. The newspapers and media and stuff are full of people from other countries who are in war, who are suffering on a daily basis, who are trying to just be able to be safe, just trying to be able to maybe overthrow government that is evil. So it's basically all of those people, the poor, the infirm, the people without power. They're in that box with the children. In Nicaragua, it's such a beautiful country, a country of volcanoes and lakes. And I serve between Potosi up on the left-hand side and Chinandega right on the ocean, kind of in between those. And we started serving 6,000 people. We now have trained healthcare workers who are going out into other villages who've seen what we have done and want to do that in their villages. So indirectly, we've doubled. We're serving 12,000 people now. So it has been an amazing voyage. It's been done by the people. I'm the cheerleader. I'm the one who organizes the training or whatever. But it's the people saving the people. And that's what we intended. It's not a handout program. It's a hand-up program. But right now, we're dealing with a violent dictatorship. We were at peace, and then we basically had a conflict with Social Security that was emptied out. And that's what it was. It was a conflict of Social Security. The students found out that the funds were used for, we call them trees of poverty. And basically it's an electric tree. They cut down all the real trees and they put in these electric trees with a lot of electricity and about 35,000 apiece. And I think they're like 200. So what happened is that came out of Social Security. So then they said the individuals need to pay more in, and the employers need to pay more in, and we're cutting the benefits in order to try to round that out. So the students took to the streets and other people, and they demonstrated against that philosophy as far as the injustice of it. But much to their dismay, they were met not with powered water hoses. They were not met with tear gas. They were not met with rubber bullets. And that first few nights that they protested, 100 students were killed, most of them headshots by paramilitary. It was not the military of the country, it was hired military. Some of the police were involved, but by no means the majority. So basically, we used to be the safest country in Central America, safer than Costa Rica, but not anymore. And we used to be the second poorest country in the Northern Hemisphere next to Haiti, but not anymore. It'll take a while for the statistics to catch up, but the whole economy is falling in Nicaragua, so we will be now the poorest country in the Northern Hemisphere. And basically, we used to have peace and tourism and tranquility, and that has been disturbed. A lot of the people in my area, since we did have tourism, are out of a job. Almost a third of my people have lost their jobs because they were employed in tourism. So it's a huge change for us. So after the students demonstrated against this policy and then they were killed, the whole country, it was no longer about the policy. It was about, we will take back our country from this dictator who's killing our children. So when you see this, these are not terrorists. Daniel Ortega came to this country and tried to explain that these people were terrorists. These people are not terrorists. They're people who want their country back. They're people who used to be part of a democratic society that has slipped into a dictatorship that's corrupt. And basically, they came in the tens of thousands all over in every community and protested, even though Those same paramilitary were out there on rooftops, and it sometimes would do shots and actually kill people. And yet they marched time and again until finally they got shot at so much that they started to just go behind the doors of their house. So those are the paramilitary. Some of them are police, but the far majority are mercenaries that are hired. They come along with automatic weapons. And the people do their best to protect themselves. This is the students, and behind their barrier with the paramilitary coming with their automatic weapons. And what do they have? They have slingshots. Sometimes they have a Molotov cocktail. But very, very little armament for the people. Very vulnerable in this situation. And what do they want? The people just want the violence to end. They want peace and tranquility for Nicaragua. But they can't see getting that under the present leadership. So he's got to go. We have support from the Catholic Church has been huge in their support of the people and trying to get the rights. They have protected their people in some of the churches, given them protection. And we have the international groups knowing that this is massive human rights violations, that these people are being killed. And what do they want? Dictator? No. Democracy? Yes. That's what these people are fighting for. These are some of the paramilitary. It's not unusual to find them, like three trucks in a row, automatic weapons in the back, just arbitrarily out and shooting people as they go by. It's very scary. People are off the streets because it's frightening and scary to be on the streets. And then they bury their dead. And many of their dead have been the younger people. We have somewhere between 600 and 800. Part of those are dead, about half of them are dead, and about half of them are just missing. But as time goes on, we think they're not coming back. When you see all that darkness, what do you do? How do you respond to that? Because it can be very disheartening. It can really weigh you down. And a lot of times what we do, if you look at our society for an example, saying, this would be fine if it wasn't for you. You know, you're the problem here. And you would stand up and point and say, hey, those guys over there are the problem. No, you are. No, you are. No, you are. And it gets ridiculous that we use all of our time and effort to drag each other down and to point that finger. And the only thing that works is this finger, me. How do I become the change that the world needs? What can I do in my life to bring peace and tranquility, to be a servant, to be able to heal? And it's real easy to slip into that sarcasm and negativity about trying to blame the others, but it doesn't work. The only one we have control over is us. And with God's help, we can use that energy to do something positive for the world. We need to be the light, especially at this point in time. You know, we need to be the light. They need to know that we're Christians by our actions, by the love that we display. And we need to make that very aware and be able to bring that light to the world in such a time of darkness. And now I'm going back to Nicaragua, and I'm looking at how do we bring that light to people there. And this is, we help feed the hungry. And basically, this is our staff. We're coming back to some problems with shortage of food there. Food costs have gone up. People are eating more just beans and rice, not much meat. But when they come to our place to serve, and to our healthcare workers who volunteer, they might get a piece of meat that week. So it's a wonderful gift, although it seems to be pretty simple. How do we serve? This is Grace's group that came down there. And you have no idea how much hope that brings to people who are in suffering situations, that you people, light-skinned people, would come down and work with them, pay their own fare, to work side by side. We had everybody pay paired with a Nicaraguan person so they could have a chance to meet them and know them. And they work side by side. Even if you're not able to come down right now because of that violence, that's huge. Your prayers are huge for these people in these dark times, to give them hope, to know that they are so loved. Loving the children, that's how we bring our light. Taking those children to us and holding them and knowing that they're loved. It's amazing because many of the light-skinned people are the ruling class in Nicaragua. They would never allow a campesino or a countryside person in their car. Totally not allowed. And yet we come down with our money and work with them. And basically a place at the table. And that's huge. We have trained now. Is that me? No. Uh-oh. Aha. Okay. This is Oneida. She's administrator, college educated, has gone through our program, has worked with me for 15 years, since she was 15 years old. This is our security guard. He is not college educated, but he is fantastic. And he is the one that keeps up our place and watches for our safety. We have Vicente, who drives our bus, gets the kids to school every day, and also is a major part of administrative. We have Jasmina, who graduated from the university as a nurse, who's now heading our dental clinic. We have Milagro, who basically I worked with one-to-one for 15 years, and then she went to nursing school. So it's been amazing. She is one of the best practitioners. She's a nurse, and they're allowed to diagnose and treat, but she's better than any practitioner in the area and is looking at maybe her dream of going to med school. And then our staff here, and the other person that's missing with the empty chair, she's taking the picture, that's Ricardita, and she's in charge of our household. But these people are now taking over. The 4 months I'm here, they do everything. They have the cards for the bank, they have the agenda, they keep the clinic running, they keep the dental clinic, they keep the kids going to school with our sponsorship program. It is amazing. And now they have a place on the table, and they will take over when my time is done. And coming down to be able to meet your students that you sponsor, I mean, what an opportunity to actually get to know them as people. And I hope as things come down, we have more and more people coming from our church. You are a huge part of this. You're probably half of the program that we do. I mean, this is you bringing the light to people in need. Our schools, we work cooperatively with our schools, helping teach and support the public programs that often have huge holes in them. Lack of materials, lack of personnel, and we help support those, both medically and educationally. We help children actually the lame walk. This is a program with Concordia that we take kids. We started with five. They said they will never walk, don't bother, it's a waste of time. All five are walking and one's playing football. So now we have about 30 kids in the disabled program and who are making wonderful progress. And basically this is Milagro, the one I told you who is a nurse considering med school. And now she takes over educating the other brigadistas or other healthcare workers, because communities have come to us. We've had no deaths for child pneumonia for 16 years in a country that the number one cause of death is children with pneumonia. That's huge. I mean, from four a year, that was our average. And now these communities are coming to us, wanting us to care, train people for their community. So that circle of people that we've affected has changed from 6,000 to 12,000. Truly amazing. And basically from the great theologian, Jimi Hendrix, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. And that is indeed, even though he probably isn't one of our top theologians, It makes a lot of sense because that is basically one of the major issues. Look at even the apostles. We're looking at their power issues. It is in our nature. It is in our nature as humans. So pray for Nicaragua. My people know that you're praying for them every week, and it does make a huge difference for them. And love. And that's the one thing that I'm going to miss so much, having the delegations come down, because I'm telling you, when you guys left, there was a wave of love. We had our kid magnets and people. It just was so sincere and so real. And I hope some of you get an opportunity to come down when things calm down. But you need that person-to-person authentic love. You can have the best program on paper, but if you don't have love, you don't have anything. And that's how we try to get God's love, God's light, into the hands of the people who are suffering, the people who are vulnerable. Thank you.
Thank you, Meg, for all you do and for the work of the Circle of Empowerment. Again, I encourage you to go to the adult forum today. Meg has another presentation to share to see more of what is done in Nicaragua, what we do to help the people there help themselves in